a human baby child. And we knew what he would do eventually, and he did it because of pure love for you and for me. Amen. And so I just want to let you know, we will have a meeting afterwards. So that's why I'm not Jimmy. I'm not giving announcements. I mean, Jimmy's not giving announcements, but I am. But just want to let you know, we're going to have part one. This is only part one of the meeting for our casting of vision for 2019. So please stay afterwards because we got a lot of food. So, you know, please join us for fellowship. And what we can do is you can get your food afterwards, and we'll come back here after like 15, 20 minutes, and we'll talk a little bit. And just more of an intro today, but we'll get more into the nitty-gritty of the casting of vision next week, okay? So please join us for fellowship and food afterwards, okay? But just other thing I want to let you know is we decided for this Wednesday, our normal prayer meeting and the midweek Bible study group, we're going to have a break, all right? So no Bible study this Wednesday night, all right? So it'll be the following, okay? And I'll tell you what that is all about next week, all right? So just those two things, just keep that in mind, all right? So why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's bow our heads, let's bow our hearts, and let's come before our Lord God and King. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time, knowing this time it's not about us, and we don't want it to be. We want it to be all about our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that as your presence flows deep and strong in this very place, Father, we truly know we are standing on holy ground. As your angels are here ministering more of your holy presence, we want to receive all the goodness that you desire for us, Lord. And we want to thank you, knowing, Father, that your love is so real. And we just want to embrace all the goodness that you desire for us. So, Father, we give this time all into your hands. May your name be magnified. May your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So as you all may well know, right, we've been doing a series called Extremely Dangerous Prayers. And you know why they're dangerous, right? Because as we have covered some of the prayers, you know they invoke the presence of God. And as the presence of God comes, we know all the works of the devil are destroyed. In Jesus' name, amen. And we know some of these prayers that we covered, they are extremely powerful. And if you've been kind of like modeling, copying those types of prayers, you know, I'm going to tell you, you're going to experience great power from God. And so last week we covered Mary's prayer in Luke chapter 1. And this week we're going to look into chapter 2. And we're going to take a look at a prayer that was prayed by a man named Simeon. Everyone say Simeon. That's his name, okay? And to some, this prayer is known as a please release me prayer. And I'm going to explain to you what that means in a few minutes here, all right? But it is found in the later verses of chapter 2 of Luke, right? But I'd like to read to you starting from verse 1 because, you know, the prayer is actually in verse 25. But to really get the heart of what this prayer is all about, we need to go from the very beginning, starting at verse 1, okay? So just listen for now. So this is Luke chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says there, at the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus, he decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And at the time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. Okay, this is where we get into the prayer. And it says here, he was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Okay, this is his prayer. All right, in verse 33, it says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Wow. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes here. So in Simeon's prayer, right, you can sense there is such a wondrous joy of thanksgiving in his heart and in his spirit. You know, God had fulfilled his promise in sending a Messiah to save his people, right, from a life of torment and oppression from the Roman government. And just imagine the delight that Simeon truly felt in his heart, that he was able to embrace this tiny little baby in his arms, knowing that this little baby was actually the Son of God. Just think about that. With such gladness so deep within his soul, Simeon prayed a remarkable prayer. And to understand the beauty of this prayer, we must first look at this man named Simeon. So look at Roman numeral 1. It says Simeon's personal godliness. And so we're just going to take a look at the very fact why he was thought to be so godly. So what kind of man was he? Well, the answer is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 27. And we are told 3 things which mark him as a pious and godly man. Look at number 1. It says here, he was a righteous and devout man. So what's the difference between righteous and devout? Well, look at verse 25. I want you to read it with me this time. Ready? Go. "At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue him." So first of all, in the eyes of other people, Simeon was known as a man who was truly righteous. Well, so when you think about a person who is righteous, what do you think about? Well, this person is usually characterized by great honesty, uprightness, sincerity, reliableness, truthfulness, and a man full of integrity. Do you know anybody like that who is so righteous, but in a way that you know it was true? There was nothing phony about it. And there should be no doubt, right, when a person is truly righteous in this way before God, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see how this person's prayers are going to be extremely dangerous. You're going to see God will answer and answer in big ways. I want you to look at James 5:16. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Wow. And if you are truly righteous in this way, as people really know that you are a man or woman of God, yeah, you're going to see how God will answer always mightily and powerfully. You're going to see things happen. I mean, in your life that you know it is the very hand of God that is moving in your life. And so his righteousness spoke of how other people saw his character based upon his words and his actions in their human relationships that they had with one another. That's what you can see as righteousness in a person, right? By the way they say things and the way they do things. But his devoutness now spoke of how God saw his true character and really defined his relationship with the Lord based upon his fellowship with God and his full submission and devotion to him. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about devoutness. It's more like that relationship where you know it's true between this person and God. When he says that he believes in God, oh yeah, he believes in God. And he knows that God will always come through for him, that God will never let him down. And that's the kind of devoutness we must have where we're truly devoted to the very things of God. You know, King David, he had this kind of relationship with God. I want you to look at Psalm 86, 2. Look what David says here. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. Protect me, for I am devoted to you. Save me, for I serve you and I trust you. You are my God. And the very fact he's telling this to God, you know he's devoted to him, because even the Bible says he has truly a heart that is so pure, so real. He has a heart after God. And that's why we must have this kind of heart too. It's not just about saying you believe in God. It's about knowing that your God is so real that you know he will never ever fail you. That as you call on his name, as you cry out to him, you can expect the very hand of God will move in your life. You're going to see miracles take place. You're going to see how God shows you how much you're so loved by him. Amen? I want you to look at number two now. It says, he was a spirit-controlled man. And let's read those verses in Luke chapter 2, verses 26 to 28 again. Read it with me. Ready? Go. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying. So let's stop right there. And with these scriptures, we see that Simeon had three personal experiences with the Holy Spirit of God. First of all, we got to understand he was spirit-filled. Because what did the scripture say? It says the Holy Spirit was what? Upon him. And we know the Holy Spirit is upon us all. Especially when we look to him. Because we know he lives inside of us. But when we say the Holy Spirit is upon us, you're going to feel a manifestation of his presence. You ever been in a situation where you were kind of just all like scared, you know, you were like fearful of what was going to happen to you, but then you just called on God, you just called on the name of Jesus, and you felt it, you know, something came upon you, like God's hand was there, like you knew he was protecting you, you knew that you didn't have to be afraid, because the very fact that Jesus was with you, the very fact you knew that God was not going to let you down. And this is what we're talking about. When we know the Holy Spirit is upon us, you're going to feel like a manifestation of his presence. And you're going to know everything's going to be okay because, yes, he is Emmanuel. He is with me. But I want you to look at that scripture there in Ephesians 5, 18 to 19. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And that's what we need to be, spirit-filled. And, you know, I got to tell you, like I told you earlier, we know we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. But, you know, when you start worshiping him, you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you make music to the Lord in your hearts, that's when you're going to be filled by the Spirit. You're going to be overflowing of his presence in your life. Amen. I want you to look at the second one. He was spirit enlightened. And that's what the scripture says. The Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the Lord. And I want you to read with me John 16:13. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to who? To you the things that are to come. So you know what? Don't dismiss it. I'm going to tell you, a lot of times people say, you know, Pastor Ben, I think the Lord told me something, and something about, you know, what's going to happen in my future. You know, it could be like, the Lord told me that, I sense it, the Lord told me that I would get this job that I thought I wouldn't get. And I said, you know what? Believe it. You know, if you really sense it and you know that you've been praying for it, you know, just say, thank you, Lord. Show to God that you really believe that as he spoke to you, it's going to happen. Amen? Because a lot of times people dismiss it. Say, oh, I don't know, maybe it's just my imagination. You know, maybe I just kind of like thought of it, but it wasn't really God. Well, sometimes you got to understand the Holy Spirit will speak to you where he's going to put this thought in your head, and it is him. And you know, the best thing you can do, if you sense it, say, thank you, Lord. I receive it. And I praise you, Lord, knowing that you're going to bring it forth. And because that's what he says. He will declare it to you, the things that are what? To come. That means the things that haven't taken place yet. You got to understand this, brothers and sisters. This is what the Holy Spirit does. And too many times I hear Christians say, you know what? God never talks to me. That's why I'm confused. I don't know what to do with my life. And I said, take the time to listen. As you read the word of God, he will speak to you. Yes, he will. And you're going to know as he speaks to you, it is truly God, because he speaks to you in ways that will touch your heart. He'll speak to you in ways that you will know that whatever problem you may have right now, yeah, it will come to pass, because Papa God is in control. Amen? Because your life belongs to him. And then the last one, it says, he was spirit-led. And that's what the scripture says, right? The Spirit led Simeon to the temple. Just imagine, if the Holy Spirit had not led Simeon to go to the temple that day, he would have missed out, right? He would have missed out seeing baby Jesus, the Lord and Savior, right? And missed out holding the precious baby Jesus in his arms. But he heard, right? It's probably a thought, said, go to the temple now. You're going to experience something awesome. And he knew it was the Holy Spirit, so he went. I'm going to tell you, in this new year, make it a point that you're going to listen intently to the voice of God. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to have a year where you're not going to have any confusion. Maybe even just a little bit, but you're going to know that it's going to be such a wonderful year, because as the voice of God speaks to you, yeah, he's going to show you how to be blessed. He's going to show you where to go, what to do, so that you will experience the blessings from him. And the reason why Simeon was able to be led by the Spirit is because his mind and heart was controlled by the Spirit of God. And we got to make sure our mind and our heart is controlled by the Holy Spirit. That means whatever he says, yes, you will do. And you got to make it a point that you're not going to give in to the things of the world. Because if you keep on giving in to the things of the world, you are not controlled by the Spirit of God. Because when you're controlled by the Spirit of God, you're going to do what you know pleases him. Amen? You know, you probably heard of Pastor D.L. Moody, right? You know, years ago, he was planning to have a revival in England, okay? And this elderly pastor, he protested. And he told the congregation, why do we need this Mr. Moody, right? That's what he said. And he's uneducated. He's inexperienced. Who does Moody think he is anyway? Does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? You know what a monopoly is, right? It's like control. If you play the game Monopoly, right? It's to control, you know, property and all that. So he's saying, does he think he has a monopoly on the Holy Spirit? Well, this younger, wiser pastor, he rose up and he responded, no, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. That's what it's about, knowing that you are controlled by the Spirit. Right, you're going to see how God will move powerfully in your life. You're going to see how God will show you things, reveal to you things that will bring forth his glory presence. And you're going to experience great and wonderful miracles. You're going to see things that everyone thought, oh, it's never going to happen. But it happens because you had faith and trust in God. Amen? That's what the kind of faith we must have. And when the Holy Spirit has a control on you, he will always guide you to the Father, God's Son, so that you can embrace his holy presence. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, he's always going to draw you close to his Son. Because when you are close to Jesus, you're going to know that he will speak lovingly and honestly into your life. And that's where true transformation comes, because you're listening and you're doing what he says. I want you to look what it says here in Romans 8:6. Won't you read that with me? Ready? Go. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Well, what kind of life do you think God wants us to have? A peaceful life? An abundant life, right? And that's what God says. If you let my Holy Spirit control your mind, all right, you're going to know that you're going to see how your life will change. Because, you know, sometimes people say, oh, how come I got to let God control me? I don't like anybody controlling me, you know. I said, you know, the very fact is God gives you free will. He's not going to force it upon you, but you're going to let him, you're going to allow him to take control of your life, because you know it's all good. Because you know when you do it, your life will be blessed in every way. Amen? And that's why we do it. It's not about him forcing us. You make that choice. Are you going to let him control your mind so that you will see how God's blessings will be poured forth upon your life? I want you to look at point number three now. It says here, Simeon was living in anticipation of the Lord's coming. And verse 26, it says that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And you can just imagine, right? Simeon was waiting for the Lord's first coming, okay? Like how we are awaiting the Lord's what? Second coming, right? Are you truly having a heart of anticipation, knowing that Jesus is coming back? Because it's all good. He's coming back to take us home to be with Father God forever and ever, where there is no pain, there is no suffering, no stress, no anxiety, no sickness, right? You're just in the presence of God and experience the goodness that he desires for his children. And we got to understand, as the Holy Spirit had revealed it to Simeon that Jesus would come, the Holy Spirit will also reveal it to our spirit when his second coming is, through Bible prophecies, right? Through the promises in the scriptures, through predictions and parables. And so, you know what? Don't dismiss it. Because do you believe that the end times are here now? End times now, I'm talking. Yeah, the last days are here. Because the scriptures clearly point that out. And you know, during this time, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to us more often, more frequently than usual. I believe that, because you're going to be surprised if you just go to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, reveal to me things that will really show to me that it is you. And you're going to be amazed. He's going to speak to you, and you're going to go, wow. You could be just sitting on a couch. I shared this with you before, where I could just be sitting on a couch and the Lord just reveals something to me, that scripture I just read, and I never thought of it in that way before. And woof, he's just like, wow. And sometimes, you know, I could be like smiling, I could be laughing, you know, I just, wow, this is you, Lord, I know it is. And I gotta tell you, it brings such great joy knowing that God, he speaks like this. He does. You just gotta listen and you gotta receive it. You gotta know that it is real, that, you know, he speaks to you in this way because he loves you. And he desires to show you these things because you've been faithful. You've been true to him. Amen? And as Christians, when we hear about biblical teachings of the end times, we should never be fearful. Because sometimes I hear other believers, you know, they say, oh, no, Jesus is coming back. You know what? Oh, I don't think I should start a family. I shouldn't buy a house. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that, right? And he said, because Jesus is coming back, so you know what? I'm just going to lay low. you know, and I'm just going to, you know, live, you know, really low-key life. I'm not going to buy anything. I just kind of just wait for his, oh, you know what? Jesus, he's waiting for your heart to say, Lord, I'm preparing my life for you. You know, it's not just stop your life and just say, okay, I'm just going to wait for you. No, God says, I want you to have an abundant life always. Keep living this abundant life. Whatever he blesses you with, keep thanking him. Amen. Keep praising him. Live life to the fullest every single day of your life, because every day of your life is a blessing that was given to by you to God. And you got to embrace. Every time you wake up in the morning, you take that first breath of air. Say, thank you, Jesus. I'm alive. I'm going to give this day unto you. I'm going to serve you the best way I can. Amen. That's what it's all about. Because, you know, it should never be fearful, but be filled with the anticipation of Jesus coming back for us. Amen. I want you to look what it says in John 14, 2 to 4. Look what Jesus promises us. Look at verse 2. Read it with me. Ready? Go. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Can you just imagine this? Jesus, he wants us to be with him. He loves it when we fellowship with him. And so this is something we know, that because Jesus said this as a promise, right? You can hear all these things, what pastors and, you know, teachers, scholars, what they're saying about, yeah, Jesus is coming back soon. You know, every time you hear that, rejoice, okay? Rejoice knowing that the very fact he's coming back, because he's taking the church, which is us, right, to be with him forever. And you know, the world doesn't understand what all this means. And sometimes you try to talk to them about these things, they go, you really believe in this malarkey? Someone actually said that to you, malarkey. I go, malarkey, okay. You know, I mean, they did kind of look at that and they go, you know, they kind of just almost like in disbelief that you believe all these things, right? And they simply reject what all the scriptures say. It's okay. It's okay. Pray for them. Because think about it, how were you before you came to know Jesus? You know, I'm sure, you know, for some of us, right? I knew for me, I was just like, oh, okay, here we go, this Christian guy, I'm gonna talk about God again, right? Pray for them, because one day, you know, they will be enlightened. Something will just resonate in their heart, and they're gonna go, wow, this is the truth, and I need this. So just pray for them, and you know that day will come, you know. Because as they may reject what you're saying, you know, the very fact is, if you show to them that you really believe this, right, and you're living it, yeah, they're gonna realize, you know what, maybe this guy really knows what he's talking about. Maybe I should, you know, listen a little bit more intently to see what this person is saying. And we need to show them, yeah, we really believe it. I mean, there's no doubt of what we believe. You know, I got to tell you about this priest and this rabbi. You know, they were from local parishes who were standing by the side of the road, and they were holding up signs, okay? And so the rabbi's sign read, "The end is near," okay? And the priest on the other side of the road held up a sign, and it read, "Turn before it is too late." And they planned to hold up their signs to each passing car. And so the first driver that you know, went by, right, he yelled, "Hey, guys, get a real job." Okay, that's what he yelled at them, right? So the second car, it was immediately behind the first. And this person yelled to them, "Leave us alone, you religious freaks." Oh, mean, yeah? And shortly, from around the curve, right, they heard screeching tires and a splash, right? And it was a loud splash. And following that were more screeching tires and splash. And they could hear that again, right? And again. So the rabbi, he looked over at his companion and says, "Do you think we should try a different sign?" And the other man responded, "Perhaps. The bridge is up. The bridge is out." Would be a better sign. And you get the point, right? Sometimes we got to take heed of what people tell us. Because even for some Christians, right, we may not fully believe that these are the end times. But sometimes, you know, it could be something that was revealed by the Holy Spirit to someone. We got to listen. And we just take it, you know, in a way that we go, okay, let me see what the Holy Spirit will say to me about what you just told me. You see what I'm saying here? Instead of saying, oh, come on, right? No, just pray. Ask the Holy Spirit, how am I to receive this? Because the very fact, as in this case, right, the bridge was really out. And that's why, you know, the cars kept going into the river, right? And but because, you know, sometimes people kind of, you know, see us, we're going to church, we're holding a Bible, they may think, okay, here's this guy again. He believes in God. I wonder what he's going to talk about God this time. You know what? They can think like that, but you know what? We keep on doing what we're called to do. Amen? Don't stop. Don't stop. Knowing that this is what the Lord wants us to do. I want you to look at Roman numeral 2, and we're going to look at Simeon's remarkable prayer now. We're going to look closely at what he prayed. So what can we learn about Simeon's extremely dangerous prayer in verses 28 to 32? Well, look at number one. It says Simeon's prayer began with what? Worship. And look what it says in verse 28. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms, and what did he do? He praised God. And Simeon, you can imagine, he waited for this moment, his whole adult life, right? And now he was able to cradle this little tiny baby, this baby named Jesus, this baby who is actually the Son of God. He's actually holding him in his arms. So what's the only fitting thing to do? Knowing that you're holding God. Would you go say, oh, cute baby, look at you. No, you know this is God here in the flesh. Start praising him. And that's what Simeon did. And just like Mary, right? Remember last week we talked about Mary? You know, before she even started praying, what did she do? She started praising God, lifting him up. And so, you know, we should, you know, start off with adoration. Okay, that's what it's called. Because, you know, we can go to God with petition, right? Telling him what we need, what, you know, we want, you know, and all that. But, you know, more important is adoration. You know, even, I believe, it's more important than even confession. Yes, we got to confess our sins to him, but always start off with adoration, praising him. And you're going to see how your prayer is going to be taken to another level when you start praising him first. Amen? And this is how we all should begin our prayers. And as you adore him, you will experience the holy presence of God like you never experienced. But I want you to just listen to this other verse. And we're going to compare it to what God said to Moses in Exodus 3:5. Okay, knowing that Simeon was able to hold this baby so close to him, holding God so close to him. Look what it says here in Exodus 3:5. Look what God said to Moses. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Imagine. That's how it was with Moses. Don't come any closer. Can you imagine? Moses go, oh, why? I never take a shower. No. But, you know, the very fact is, in this case with Simeon, he held baby Jesus so close to his heart. And that's what we desire, right? But, you know, the very fact with Moses, those were times where, you know, God was showing him in a way that let Moses know this is his splendor glory. And, you know, we can still experience the splendor glory of God with such closeness. You know, because what his son did for us, yes, God says, come close to me, child. That's why the scripture says, draw nigh unto God. Draw close to him. And what will God do? He will draw close to you. You make that first move to show God, I want to be so. I want to hear your heartbeat, Lord. Guess what? He's going to come close, so close to you. As if you're going to feel his arms embrace around you. Amen? That's the kind of closeness that we want with God. And God is desiring to hold you close in his arms today. Will you let him? Will you let him? because that's what he wants. He doesn't want to be distant. He wants to be so close to you. I want you to look at point number two. It says, Simeon's prayer acknowledged God's what? Sovereignty. And verse 29, it says, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant what? Die in peace as you have promised. And Simeon shows us that when he calls God Sovereign Lord, right, he recognizes that God has supreme power and authority, right, over him, that he is the master and he is the servant, okay? Just like a king, right? If you were to approach a king over, you know, matters of his kingdom, right, you would not tell him what to do, right? He is the one who calls the shots. You just listen. You can give, you know, advice or whatever you want, but the very fact the king is the one who calls all the shots. Amen? And so we got to know that as we go to God, you got to know that he is the one who determines what steps you are to take. You listen to him. You don't say, no, but God, I don't want to do that, right? You got to say, Lord, you are sovereign, and I will listen to you. As your Holy Spirit speaks to me, I will do as you ask. And he knows that he can trust God with his life. And it's as if Simeon is now saying to God, right? Because he says, let your servant die in peace, right? As you have promised. It's as if Simeon is now saying to God, at last, the very thing I have been waiting for all my life has happened. So now let me be released from my body. And like I said, you know, earlier, you know, the very fact, sometimes people see this prayer as the please release me prayer. You're asking God to what? To take you home, right? And you have to know, at this point, Simeon, he didn't have any fear of death because he knew what the promises of God were. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we go to Christian funerals, right? They don't call it, you know, a funeral so much. They call it a celebration of what? A life, right? And sometimes you think, okay, a celebration of how this person lived their life, right, on this planet Earth. You know what it is? More so, it's a celebration of what life the person is having right now in the arms of our Father God. That's what it is. We're celebrating the very fact that our brother or sister is in the arms of God. And is that a definite cause for celebration? Oh, yeah, we should celebrate because we know he's with God. And I want you to look at that verse in 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 57. Let's read together. Ready? Go. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will what? Never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Death has lost its sting. For Christians, death has lost its sting. Because we know where we're going. But the world who doesn't know Christ, you know, they kind of wonder, is this the end? Is that it? Nothing? You know, this person never going to be seen again? That's it. You know, nothing more. That's it. There's no reason to rejoice. But we know the very fact, because our lives belong to Jesus, we're going to be with him forever, even when we take our last and final breath on this planet Earth. And he knew, Simeon knew that even though he were to physically die in his body, he was absolutely certain that he would have eternal life with God. I want you to look at that next scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 8 to 9. Read that with me. Ready? Go. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home, we are at home in the body or away from it. And can you imagine? This is the Apostle Paul. He's talking, right? He would prefer to be away from the body. In other words, he'd rather be dead in his physical body, right? He prefers to be dead, right, in his physical body so that he can be home with the Lord. Can you imagine that? Because you think about this, right? This world, they have such a fear of death, right? Just the thought, oh, I'm going to die, right? It brings such a great fear. But as a Christian, right, we know that there shouldn't be any fear because that we know for a fact that death has lost its sting. There's no more that sting anymore. Because we know that when we are away from our body, we're with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing you should know as a Christian, right? Because you can say, oh, does it mean we're in heaven or what? No, I'm just with Jesus. That's all I need to know. And just the fact I'm with Jesus, man, I know it is all good. It is all good. I want you to look at point number three now. It says, Simeon's prayer acknowledged that he was what? Truly saved, and that God extends this salvation for everyone who is in the world. And the Bible says he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to receive eternal life. But it's a decision that we have to make. And in verse 30, okay, I want you to read what Simeon says here. Ready? Go. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. So let's think about this. You know, if Jesus was only a baby at the time, right, and had not gone to the cross, how is it that Simeon is saved? Because he says, I have seen your salvation. If he's talking about the salvation from his sins, right, we know the very fact we are saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But how come Simeon says, I have seen your salvation? Because I want you to look at what it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 2-4. Okay, this is how we know that we are saved, okay? Let's read it together. Ready? Go. By this gospel, you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that what? Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Okay, furthermore, okay, this is what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Okay, so to kind of recap what we just read, okay, it says here, Paul says, by this gospel, this good news, right, we are saved. We are saved because what? Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. Okay, that's what the scripture says, right? And then it says, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Okay, you got to remember, Paul wrote this after Jesus did what he did on the cross. So he's saying, right, because of what Jesus did for us, what did he do? He suffered and he died for our sins. So why is it that Simeon is saying here, the very fact he says, I have seen your salvation. Well, I think the key word here is seen, okay? Because what is really being said here, the word seen really means been revealed. Even though he never, you know, had witnessed, right, what Jesus had done for us on the cross, right? Guess what? The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. He could have been the Holy Spirit showed it to him as a vision, right? And I want you to read what it says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9-10. Read that with me. Ready? Go. And that is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God reveals these things by his what? His Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. And I really believe that the more you can show to God that you are so in love with him, that you desire to do his will, I believe he's going to show to you things that he may not show to other believers. And I know some people may disagree, but I believe that, because the closer you are to God, I believe the more he wants to show you things that are of the kingdom. And as you are listening, as you are just desiring just more of these things, right? You say, Lord, reveal them to me. He will. And you're going to have such great downloads, you know, from the Lord. And there was no doubt, right, that we can see just reading what Simeon was praying and what he was doing. You know, we know that Simeon loved God with all his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength. And that's why God showed to him the way to salvation even before Jesus had done what he'd done on the cross. And that's why we can understand God will do the same for us. And he will speak these kinds of truths to you, you know, what we can say are our secrets, right? He's going to reveal it to you because you've been faithful, because you have shown to God that your heart really belongs to him. Amen? I want you to look at point number four now. It says, Simeon's prayer reveals the future prophecy of God's chosen people. Let's read what it says in verse 32. Read that with me. Ready? Go. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. You know, Simeon shows to us here that Jesus, he came first to save who? The Jews, right? That's what the scripture says. And not to the Gentiles, because Jesus came for the Jews. That was the first, foremost reason. Brother Bruce, right? He's Jewish, right? But yet the Jews, what happened? Rejected him, right? And that is why Jesus is a light to the Gentiles. Okay, that's why Simeon made this statement. I want you to read with me what it says in Romans 1, 16 to 17. And we're going to see this. Ready? Go. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. What does it say there? The Jew what? First, and also the Gentile. Who are the Gentiles? We are, right? We're not Jewish, so we're Gentile, right? And so it says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. And as the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're a Jewish person and you say you believe in God. The very fact, what makes you righteous before God, you put your faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That is true for everyone. Because sometimes people say, oh, but you know what? It's okay if this Jewish person believes in God, you know, the Old Testament. Isn't that good enough? Well, what are you going to say if someone asks you that? You should say, well, the scripture says that the only way to salvation is through his son, Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's what the Bible says. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we got to know what Jesus says. Hey, we gotta receive it. We got to know that is the truth. But we know there will come a day, right, when we're going to await the very fact that everyone in the world, including the Jews, right, will put their faith in Christ, and he will be our crowning glory. Amen? I want you to read what it says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow. Every knee should bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And no one, you know, is going to be excluded. There's going to come that day. And you know, I was just watching, you know, Sid Roth. You ever watch his show? It's Supernatural. Yeah. You know, he actually goes to Israel. And he says he's been witnessing to many Jewish people there. And he says, I think he said thousands are coming to know Jesus Christ. And so, wow, it's a miracle, right? The very fact that all these years, right, they have rejected Christ. But now I believe, you know, many of them realize he is the way, the truth, and the life. I want you to look at the bottom line verses now. I want you to look at Luke 2, verses 33 to 35, okay? And these are the concluding verses of Luke chapter 2. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. It says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him, right? And as a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And look at the last verse there. And what? A sword will pierce your very soul. Can you imagine what Mary is kind of thinking? Oh, what? It sounded good, right? Up to that point. What do you mean a sword will pierce my soul, right? And we're going to talk about that a little bit here. But we know Simeon, right, had blessed Mary and Joseph, right, and gave them these two prophecies. The first one, he gave a prophecy about Christ himself, that he would be the one who would divide men and nations according to their attitude of whether they rejected him or accepted him. And he goes on to say, you know what, many will oppose your son. Many are not going to like your son at all. But we know Jesus was on a mission, right? His mission was to save all of us here on this planet Earth. He was on a mission. He was totally dedicated. He was focused. He knew he had to do what he had to do. And then he also, Simeon also gave a prophecy about the anguish that Jesus would have to face at Calvary, right? And these words, and the sword will pierce your very soul. It warns Mary that, you know what, even she too will suffer along with her son to fulfill God's work. And I'm sure Mary, she understood that, you know, because who likes to be told that, right? A sword will pierce your very soul. Because, yeah, she would be in anguish because she would be witnessing all that would be done to Jesus, you know, as he was crucified on the cross. You know, as Christians, right, when we hear the message of Christmas, we often think about Jesus as an infant child, right? Because think about it, right? If I was just mentioned the word Christmas, oh, poof, you know, baby Jesus, right? In the manger, right? But, you know, I believe that it's also important that as we think about that baby child, right, because we know what he had to do, right, that he had to come, yes, in the form of a baby child, but eventually as an adult, right, he would have to accomplish the mission that Father God had set out for him. Guess what he had to do? He had to take on the sins of the world. Imagine, not one or two, he had to take on the sins of the world, so that we could be once again reconciled with the Father. And the very fact he knew this, he knew that he was to do it with just a great focus, just knowing that it would be done, no matter what the cost, no matter what anguish, torment he had to face, he would do it because he loved us. You know, as we look back in 2018, you know, you may have said, you know, I don't know about this year. This year, I kind of strayed away from God. Or it could have been that you started to question whether or not your faith in God was real. You know, I would tell you, brothers and sisters, make it a point that you're going to rededicate your life to Christ this Christmas. Because the very reason why you may have strayed is because, you know, sometimes we get caught up with the busyness of life. And suddenly we realize, okay, you know, maybe... you know, the very fact is I'm so busy, maybe God just putting these blessings in my life, so I just got to keep going, you know, and doing what I need to do. But the very fact is, can you imagine the very fact that God, he's waiting for you every day? He could be just, you know, waiting at your kitchen table. Say, oh, when is my child going to bring his Bible to the table and spend time with me? You know, it's so important, you know, that we must do these things, because if we don't, we're just going to leave God hanging. Just think about that. He's waiting and he's waiting. And remember, like Simeon said, you know, the very fact, some men will accept him and some men will reject him. But if we're the ones that have accepted him, we got to make sure our relationship with him is growing. It's not just going to stay stagnant. It's going to just stay one level and it's not growing. We got to make the effort. Amen? And we've got to show to God that our hearts really belong to him. And, you know, God, he's going to make everything fall into place. If you know that you're living your life for Jesus Christ, it's not so much you're going to have to put in all the effort in making your life what you want it to be. If your heart really belongs to Christ, you're going to see how God was going to just make everything fall into place. And you're going to realize, wow, I should have done this earlier. I should have let God just be in total control of my life. You know, I like to conclude with this. There's this theologian, a Christian theologian. His name is Martin Luther. You may have heard of him, right? He once had this dream where he was in his house and he saw Jesus coming up the sidewalk toward his door. So Luther examined his surrounding and realized that everything was a total mess. You know, you can imagine, you ever had a messy house before? Everything all over the place, right? And so clothes were thrown over the furniture. You know, old food was sitting out, you know, maybe a pizza or something, right? And trash was everywhere. And he thought, how am I going to let the Lord of my life, my master, Jesus Christ, come into a room like this? Such a mess, right? So he hurriedly tried to straighten up, but the more he picked up, the greater the mess became. You ever done that before? You tried to clean up, and the more you clean up, oh, I'm getting more messy, right? It happened to me many a times. I go, wow, I'm not getting anywhere here, right? So finally, right, Jesus was knocking on the door. And Luther, right, he resigned himself to the mess. He said, well, I can't do anything about this mess now. So as he opened the door, he said, Jesus, come on in. If you think you can come into a place like, and he stopped right there. And as he turned, he saw that everything had been put into order. Everything was in its proper place. The house was immaculate as Jesus entered in. I want you to understand this, brothers and sisters. Sometimes we can make such a mess of our lives when we try to straighten out things by ourselves because we don't go to God. We think, okay, I can handle this, and we make it even more messier. It's more messed up than usual now. And that's what I'm going to make it a point for 2019, right, yeah, that I'm going to go to him more often because, be honest with you, sometimes I forget. I'm just human, just like anyone else. And sometimes I try to handle things on my own, and things get messier. So make it a point. You know, every time you're experiencing some difficulty, some problem, go straight to God. Say, Papa God, I need your help. Show me what to do, Lord, because I need your help. I'm desperate for you. And God, he will show himself to be faithful and true. And if you will submit yourself to Jesus and open your heart to him, guess what? He's going to cleanse the sin in your life. He's going to make your life immaculate. You know, you got to let him do it, though. Don't say, Lord, don't move that. Don't touch that. No, don't, Lord. I love that one too much. And Lord says, no, I'm the one who's cleaning up here. You must let me. And as you let him, as he cleanses your life, you're going to see how the blessings of heaven will flow so deep and strong in your life. It's going to be a great abundance of his blessings that will come forth because you're willing. Amen? He doesn't force it upon you. But if you let him, you're going to see how your life will be immaculate. And that's why Simeon realized this. And that is why he was ready to be released from his body. He knew that his heart truly belonged to Jesus. You know, even though it was a form of a baby child, he knew he had been waiting for him all these years, and now he's in his arms. And he said, Lord, I'm ready to go. If you want to take me, oh, this is all I wanted, and now I'm ready because I know I am saved because of my faith in Jesus, because I know my heart belongs to you. And we got to understand, you know, this is what the meaning of Christmas is all about. I know, you know, every year, you know, Christmas comes around, you know, it's the same old thing. You know, Christmas is around the corner when the traffic is getting heavier. You know, when you go to a shopping mall, I'm driving around like 4 or 5 times, right? Unless you're John Lee, right? She prays and somehow parking just appears, right? but you know, for most people, right, we kind of go, oh, when I'm going to get one parking, oh, right? But just pray, okay, and see what God will do. But the very fact is, right, as Christians, we got to know what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Because if we don't, we're going to be just like the world, and we're going to get stressed out. We're pulling hairs out of our head. I go, oh, I'm stressed out, I'm maxed out, and my credit card is being maxed out too, and I don't know how I'm going to pay for all this, you know. But we realize we got to slow down, take a deep breath, and know that it's all about Jesus. Amen? Benson, I want you to show this video. the very fact, talks about the true meaning of Christmas. So he is Christmas, right? Don't get caught up like how the world gets caught up in the Christmas season, realizing it is all about him. Amen. And you're gonna have such a blessed Christmas as you know your mind, your heart, your soul, all that you are embraces the truth. The very fact that Jesus, what he did for us, he showed his love. Showed his love in such an awesome way, knowing that he did it because he wanted us to be reconciled with his Father. That we know we have this because this is this gift that Father God had put forth upon us. And if you have received this gift, know that you have the joy of the Lord inside of you. That you know that whatever happens in your life, God is always with you. That's why Jesus, he is called Emmanuel, which means what? God is with us. Amen. And he is with you. So let that spirit of love, peace, and joy just reign in your hearts, knowing that this the reason for this season is Jesus. Amen. Let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this message. And Father, we truly know as Simeon had prayed this prayer, as he knew that truly he lived a life that was true to God. He knew that his heart belonged to Jesus. Even though he was in the form of a baby child, he knew, as the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him, that truly he was saved because he knew what was to come, that Jesus, he would suffer and he would die on the cross for our sins. And Father, we know, because we know this truth today, because it had already taken place, what Jesus had done. We know as Jesus is in our hearts, we remember that Jesus was given as a gift to us by Father God. This is the greatest, most awesome gift that anyone can give. And Father God gave it to us, gave his son, Jesus, to us. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we go on through the rest of this week, Lord, until Christmas, let our hearts, let our minds be set upon the Son of God. Let it be set upon our Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we do, just let our minds just receive the fullness of what the true meaning of Christmas is all about, Father, we're going to have such a blessed Christmas. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, that is me. I think if I were to be honest, maybe I've been putting my focus on the how the world perceives Christmas, that I've been just too focused on just the presents, the shopping, and all this. And, you know, we can do all these things. But if we forget Jesus Christ, you know, we lost the true meaning of what Christmas is. But you realize now, I'm going to make sure of it, that as my mind is set upon Christ, I'm going to experience the fullness of his love, his peace, and his joy. And if this is the cry of your heart, you're saying, yes, that is me, help me, Lord, to get my mind on you, Lord, on your Son, Jesus. If this is the cry of your heart right now, can you just raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is me, Lord? Help me to have my mind set on your Son, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Oh, let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands were raised, Father, but most importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, forgive me if I've been letting my mind, my heart stray away from you. Father, I want to be so close to you. Father, I pray that as I make the effort to draw close to you, I know you will draw so close to me. Father, I pray that your holy presence will just fill this entire place right now. As our minds and hearts are ready to give our full worship to you, Lord, I pray that you will be magnified fully and completely in this very place and completely magnified in our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have started in our lives and what you will continue to do. Our hearts are in total surrender to you. Father God, we love you and we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God.